It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. This is episode 469. I am your host, Justin Worsham. And with me, as always, is the man who consulted the SEAL Team 6 on their consulting of Call of Duty, Medal of Honor, Black Ops 23. The one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Happy Halloween! Oh, wait. Oh, crap. My mistake.
Is this already Thanksgiving in the future? Is that what
Yeah. This is probably Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I'm excited. We've delineated, which I thought was overly organized by myself, but Kevin and his wonderful family are coming over to my house for Thanksgiving.
It's going to be great. This will be the first time we've ever done this. It's kind of long overdue, really.
I'm excited for it. It'll be nice. I'm looking forward to cooking a turkey for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'll be good.
My traditional feast, while I have enjoyed a turkey, and I think I've smoked a turkey in my life, but I did not I did not inhale, because I always have to do that stupid joke. I've never cooked one in the oven, so I'm excited.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
I have a remote thermometer.
What?
I'm happy to loan you.
Oh, boy.
So
that's a big
last
deal.
Year for Thanksgiving, if you care to recall, we were entertaining Kat's whole family, mm-hmm. all of my in-laws with all of her brothers and sisters. And we were in our tiny apartment in Hollywood. And in order to serve food enough for everybody, I had to borrow a friend of ours' kitchen that was two apartment buildings down.
And I walked
down the street with a turkey and cooked it in her house for 4 hours while we cooked all the other things in our apartment there. And my early idea, which did not work out well, was this remote control thermometer. We were just outside of range, but my hope was that I'd be able to see the temperature of the oven two buildings away. While
awesome.
I was cooking. Didn't work out.
That is incredible.
So I've got that. We can use that on the big day.
On a similar Thanksgiving related note, I like to eavesdrop on our listeners' conversations via Skype.
Yeah.
When they're chatting, and it keeps it in there. Like, it's funny because you can always see on my Skype it says 1,166 and like the little badge of conversations. And so I'll go in and look through it, and I think it was, oh man, I'm going to mess it up. Let me see if I can find the person, because I think they're always there. It's not Tosh. I think it's Carmen, I want to say. But anyway, somebody was, they were talking about Thanksgiving, and she was like, I celebrated Thanksgiving a month ago. And one of the other guys is like, why? Like, my favorite part was that she goes, you've known me for how long now? Like it's all via text, but I like to add in contextual like emotion to it, where she's like, you know me for how long, and you don't understand that I'm Canadian, like which is a very stereotypically anti-Canadian thing to be angry about dumb things, like. But I thought that amused me. I think I'm right. I think it was Carmen. I'm going out on a limb. I think it was Carmen. That's what I'm gonna go with. I don't remember who the dude was, but whatever. Maybe it was Brian.
Well, I have three news stories that.
Oh,
I think
boy.
And I'm going to go, the first two are very much connected and they go backwards in time.
Okay.
So I'm bullet pointing today's episode because I like to bullet point.
That's a good point.
I have three and a half. So at the end, I have something very important to tell you. It's more of a confession.
Oh boy.
So I'm going to confess that.
A lot of drama, a lot of suspense being built up in this show.
Hopefully we get to all of it.
Yeah.
First of all, this episode comes out the day after an incredibly important day in history, which will be a no-brainer to some of our newer listeners. Care to take a stab at it?
An incredibly important day in history. This episode is released. Let's see. Let me look
day
at my...
The day after this episode is released.
The day so after this episode. So
yesterday, if we were in real time.
So November 15th.
Oh, it's like you just said December 25th.
Oh, really?
That's how important this
day is.
Day.
Are they important to the people who listen to this podcast, or is it historically important
to the people who have just started listening to this podcast.
They've just started listening. Ooh,
this is fun.
This is the last 45 days of our podcast, and you're announcing that you're quitting.
You get two more guesses.
Okay.
I'm never quitting this. You can die, and I'll still do this podcast.
I want to say my first thought was that it was the release of the first Sly Cooper game.
Nope, that already passed.
But my issue is that I don't understand why that would matter to new listeners of this show. An important day in history to the new listeners of this show.
10, 9, 8.
Are you actually hitting your keyboards of the numbers? Because I can hear you
typing. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Final answer?
It was 2 days after my dog's birthday.
Is that in your calendar?
Yeah.
No. It is the day after Star Wars: The Old Republic goes free to play.
Free to play.
So yesterday, which is the future for us, Star Wars has finally gone free to play. Oh. All of our friends at the Mog Radio Network are going, duh. this is huge. They've been teasing this for a long time since before Halloween, and they said sometime this fall, which if you play MMORPGs, you knew instantly that it would not happen before Halloween, because Halloween is when there are typically a lot of great events in most MMORPGs. And sure enough, Star Wars was no exception to this rule. It had some really fun stuff, which I did not partake of, but looked great in the screenshots, because I don't pay $15 to rent a game that I already own.
Yeah.
Burn!
Boom!
But yeah, so on the 15th, it comes free to play. Now, the thing that's interesting about these free to play, these games that don't start free to play and go change it later, is that they build a game, right, that they think everybody's going to think we're the hottest shit on the market, and they're just going to be happy to give us money so they can keep playing it. And then later, when that proves not to be true, they then have to think, how are we going to monetize this thing that's already existing? What are we going to turn into something that you have to pay for? Now, Guild Wars 2 built their game knowing that they were going to have to in-game purchases throughout it. And I've actually talked to people who have admitted to me they've spent hundreds of dollars buying colors to dye their artificial uniforms in the game. Hundreds of dollars.
Wow.
Yeah. So they built a system where they knew somebody out there is going to want to buy a bunch of this one thing. Me, I'm an altaholic. So they limit the number of character slots to 5, which is more than you need. You can't play more than 1, maybe 2 characters with any sort of depth, especially this game with so much going on. But they limit it to 5. I need more. I bought 4 more slots.
Oh.
And they're $10 a slot. So bam, right there. And they're probably at some point in my life of playing this game, I'll drop some more money, buy some more stuff. They built the game with this in mind. Star Wars had to go back and go, what are we going to take away that you now need to pay to use?
Lightsabers.
Yeah. Almost. You can pay to use.
We'll give you sticks.
Instead of a lightsaber, you can pay to use an axe. So that's cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you want to be a Jedi Knight and instead use an axe.
Oh, I see. I was a victim of your bit, because I was about to argue that point. I'm like, wait, hold on. They think they're going to get people to pay $2 to use an axe instead of a lightsaber?
No, that's what they did.
Are you serious?
I'm not exaggerating. Yeah,
took away lightsabers.
No. They have a lightsaber. You can buy an axe if you want it.
Wow.
Yeah.
For your Jedi character.
They took away some functionality within the game. I think they've since lessed a little, but in most MMORPGs, there's a tool. All your skills are on the screen, and you can cycle through them. If you aren't paying for it, you only get 1 or 2 rows. You don't get to use all 3 of the rows at once, which means you have to hit a button to see the other rows. It's like a Lexus.
That's funny.
what they're not skimping on, which is where they couldn't, is any of the actual in play. Like, they're not cutting down on your ability to experience the storylines or to move through the world or to visit planets. So you don't have to pay for content, which is interesting. You only have to pay for additional features and such. So, but if you want to create a new character, from what I can tell, you have to pay to unlock other character types. So if you want to be a Treelak, the blue-colored people with the tails in the back of their head, you got to be a subscriber to access those characters. Otherwise, you can be play as a cyborg or something else, a human and something else. Mm-hmm. Whatever Darth Maul's race was, the Zeptathan, or who cares?
My son.
So this is, I'm super excited. I've been really excited to play some Star Wars, the Old Republic, or whatever it's called. And I'm glad that it's going to be back on my machine here. Looking forward to downloading on my Windows 8 machine. And it's going to be free to play in a pretty legitimate way. If you've never played it before, you probably won't mind. You'll be like, oh, I don't know if you'll look at it and be like, oh, this is hard, or I need to pay to play it. Like, I don't mind. I'm going to do these things and play the game just fine. If you have played it before, you'll feel like they're trying to encourage you to pay, that they've built up a system that is, instead of free to play, it's penalized if you're playing for free, or encouraged to pay. But we'll see.
That's interesting that I'm trying to think of what would I do if I was in that. And I think that you're right. Like in the Guild Wars thing, that I think you just give people options, because you're really only the whole point. Am I wrong in going free to play is to tap into the swing vote? You know what I mean? Like to use electionese, the people that are like, I'm on the fence about this game. What's that? It's free. Oh yeah, I love Star Wars. I'll play a video game that's free.
Yeah.
And that the real place that you're going to make your money on these add-ons is people that you either draw in or people that are already hardcore fans. Like that's kind of who you're already relying on to make your money. So I think that it is in add-ons, but I do think that, you know, changing any, am I misunderstanding what you're saying, and that they didn't change a lot or make it worse, but it seems like the idea of being able to purchase an axe is not a good resource. Am I wrong?
I agree. I think so. And I don't think it makes it very interesting.
Yeah. It's, where there's like, you could, you know, the ability to get different colored lightsabers, which is the same thing like what you said about Guild Wars, or, you know, make or different races, like make a guy, whatever, Darth Maul's race into a Jedi would be cool.
Now, I think that that's legitimate. Here, I think that that's fair to say. Yeah. This is the base game. If you see something here that you like, that's a base model. Like you want to design a character that's a little different, or you want some different options within the game, mm-hmm. you should have to pay for that. I don't think the game should be free. I really don't.
No.
And I think you should have to pay. The servers are not free. Like it takes money to run them, but I think that the value for paying for it should be equal to what you're paying. Like yeah. it shouldn't be something that should be automatic.
And is that the reason in your mind? Because I don't play these games as much as you, because I'm curious about this trend of free to play on all these massive multiplayer games.
It's because the cost of $15 a month is not realistic. When you add up how many different things cost $15 a month, there's too much. World of Warcraft could do it because it was the only game. Yeah. And it was the only way that they could make the game lucrative. They could not support the servers by making the game free. That just was not going to happen.
Are they still doing it?
Yes, it's still $15.
So they could get away with it because they're the flagship.
Yeah, and they've got a billion players.
Yeah, and they don't care. But so why not make it $5? Why not make it a number that people are willing to pay? And is that not enough revenue?
I wonder that same thing. If you said, if not Guild Wars, let's say Star Wars, I had launched with saying that it's $2.99 a month, you may forget. You may be like, oh, $2.99 a month, and then forget it. Because mm-hmm. that's what's going to happen for most people, right? You pay to play. And then, like the gym or Netflix, you pay whether or not you use it, right? So if it's $2.99, you can write that off pretty fast.
Yeah.
But somewhere, some economist said, no, it's got to be $15 a month. Otherwise, it's just not viable to us.
And that makes me wonder, too, if they're getting some kind of number from somebody who's not hip to the gaming world or is overly hip to the gaming world, that they're disconnected and that they're thinking, well, that's what World of Warcraft is and that's what everybody's trying to be, when in actuality, you can be better. If you just make the... I really think that it's a good thing, but things seem to be being pushed towards a content-based. If you have good content, people will pay for it. They will get it, which is why we do this for free, evidently.
Yes. Wait a minute.
where?
Editors, yay! So the other, so going back, the connected related news, which I don't believe we discussed on the show, Disney bought Star Wars?
Oh, yeah. I kept thinking, I'm like, oh, I got to remember to talk about Kevin.
Come on!
Yeah. There was a lot of people that, this is what I love too. This is what everybody that was kind of hardcore that I knew in like the media was like, this is awesome. Like I was, I think I heard something about Chris Hardwick was talking about it on Nerdist. And then I heard Ralph Garman, who's on Kevin Bean, which is a morning show in LA. And he's like, he's friends with Kevin Smith and a big nerd. And he was like, this is incredible. Like, one of the things that they're most excited about is what Disney will do with the new trilogy, because now it's going to be made. And now they believe that it won't be in the hands of George Lucas, and that they think that he came up with a great world, but is really a horrible writer.
Absolutely.
Which I think, you know, that's kind of
horrible.
Common.
He's just he's more of an ideas guy than he is a an actual executor. Now, if you read the Wikipedia entry about the history of the third trilogy of 7, 8, and 9, it's hilarious. It's like listening to 1984. The number of times that he contradicts himself throughout history, with telling Mark Hamill in 1976, I have 9 movies in mind, and I want to reconvene somewhere in the 2000s when we're in our 60s and have you play this character again. Mark Hamill was told this in 1976. He has no reason to lie.
Wow.
He did a foreword for another book to where he said, I could see these books. I could see these universe expanding. I had ideas for a 9-part series. And then I got inspired to do movies about Wookiees and droids. He came up with all the, he went in his own words in writing, has admitted, I had ideas for a 9-part story for this thing. Then you jump forward generations and he goes on record saying, people have blown this way out of proportion. I lightheartedly suggested, wouldn't it be fun if we did more movies when we're in our 60s and 70s? And people took me seriously. I don't know why they would do that.
It's because, like, of your flannel, George.
You're a bullshitter. That's all it comes down to. You are really good at making stuff up, clearly, incredibly imaginative, but you're very inconsistent in your personal life and in your movies that you make.
That's so funny.
But yes, I agree with the assessment that this, I think I've even said it on our show, we won't see another Star Wars movie until George Lucas dies. And I'm glad that isn't true, because I don't wish him to die.
No.
He's a particularly lovely man. But I, when I said that, I meant it will be 15, 20 years before he's finally out of the picture and somebody feels that they can take the reins. Mm-hmm. Like we saw with the Star Trek reboot. Yep. It took that long for somebody to be like, okay, dust is settled. New take on this thing.
Yeah.
Or Spider-Man, which took 18 months. So
some trends move faster than others.
But the huge deal about this is that it took them a year and a half to ink this. Disney had pursuing them for a year and a half. Wow. They had hidden their agenda so well that investors didn't understand why they had a surplus of $4 billion sitting around in liquid cash outside of assets.
Hey, guys, we can make a few movies. We
could save a nation from poverty. $4 billion. What are we doing with this? I'm getting a lot of these statistics from USA Today.
John, I'm going to give you a hint that we're not going to save a nation from poverty.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's kind of Oprah's deal, so we don't want to tread on her water. You know what I'm saying?
This is huge, because it's not just, like, we all think Star Wars first, right? Like the franchise. But it's not just Star Wars. There are other franchises that LucasArts is a part of. The other biggest one is Indiana Jones, of course. So Indiana Jones joins that whole family of things. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple other LucasArts things that are underneath that. But it also includes all of the other companies that came along with it, including ILM.
Wow.
giant. I mean, they are the industry leader of special effects, and that is now a Disney-owned property, a company.
Wow.
These companies are going to stay where they live up in Northern California, and they're not going to relocate them. It also means LucasArts, the developer for all the video game developer for all the games that are out there that are related to the Lucas Industries, and it also means Skywalker Sound, which is the Lucas's awesome sound company. But the thing that's cool about it is that they rejoined their previous company, Pixar. You know, Lucas founded Pixar way back in the day, sold it off, and then eventually Disney bought it as well in that famous adventure. So it's interesting to see how all these things get poured into it. Now, you know, Apple bought Pixar first. It was part of them. And then now Steve Jobs and Lucas are the two largest single human being shareholders of the Disney empire.
Wow.
That's part of the deal. And of course, Steve Jobs is no longer with us. So his estate owns it. So George Lucas.
Wait, hold on. What?
I got a book for you. so George Lucas is the single.
Can I get it on iTunes?
yeah. No, it's still on iTunes. You
okay.
Can get it.
All right. Cool. Good.
But so George Lucas owns more Disney than any other one person. But as we talked about, you know, before, that it with them being able to say the day it was released that the new Star Wars movie would be launched in 2015, that means part of the deal was them developing another movie. That means they came to them saying, we want to do this. Here's what we're going to do. Here's some story ideas. Here's some character creations. We're going to work on this. This movie is in production and has been for a while. It's just now that we actually have inked and are moving forward.
Yeah. And one of the things I heard too, on the radio was that Disney now is in talks to purchase, Hasbro, which owns G.I. Joe and Transformer. And so they'll own those properties, and then they also make the toy manufacturer. They'll own the toy manufacturing. And the point that he brought up was, this was Ralph Garman on Kevin Bean. The point he brought up, he's like, well, think about it. You just bought Star Wars. That's a humongous toy market. Now you're going to buy Transformers and G.I. Joe. What better way when you own these large licenses is to also own a toy manufacturing company?
I was going to say Hasbro owns more than that too. Are they My Little Ponies?
Yep.
They are, because Barbie is Mattel.
Yep.
Which is not, but they own, oh my gosh, that's Monopoly, Nerf.
Battleship.
It's Furby. That's huge. Little Pet Shop. Those are huge brands.
Yep.
They were on all those.
But there was a time, I feel like, that they would talk about this being a thing where, you know, Disney's going to own everything and they're just going to tear it up. But I haven't heard any of that. Like, I really...
I think fans feel that way. I had to talk a fan off the ledge and said they're going to turn it into Pirates of the Caribbean. But they've proved it. That's not what's going to happen with Marvel. They proved that's not going to happen with Pixar. That they have no problem letting a company run on its own and taking the money.
That's all they want.
Point. They're not a Disney is not a content driven machine. They're a real estate owning. Yeah. They own intellectual property. It's not about what's on the property.
Yeah.
It's about owning the intellectual property underneath it.
They're not interested in taking Spider-Man and making it Disney. They're interested in taking the money that Spider-Man makes.
And they have a much stronger arm. And this is why us getting LucasArts or Lucas selling it is so much better for fans, because it's not that they're going to muck it up or they're going to make it worse or better than the new trilogy. It's that there's going to be more.
Yeah.
We're going to see more Star Wars. The fact that there were only 3 movies in the space of 15 years was ridiculous.
Yeah.
They should have been making a movie every 2 to 3 years.
That would be awesome.
Has the power and the muscle and the energy to do that. So,
and you know what else I'm curious about with Disney owning, like, even Marvel? Because one of the things that I thought kind of sucked about the way that comic book movies were happening was that it felt like, because nobody really had exclusive rights to what Marvel was doing, that it lacked a path.
Yep.
So you would have these Spider-Man movies that it would end with a trilogy, and then it's like, yeah, but we like Spider-Man. We want to see more Spider-Man movies. Well, it's like, okay, well, now we have to reimagine a different Spider-Man. Yep. And I think what we would all really like is that if we got a guy like a Chris Nolan type person, and he's like, that's the Spider-Man dude, and if that person is okay to do it and make a ton of money, then you could still make a ton of money and keep making these movies.
You need a special actor for that. Because a lot of those deals are done in 3-picture deals. Like, it's going to be a big deal, so let's do a 3-picture project. But then you get actors like Samuel Jackson or Johnny Depp who say, I'll make a movie every week. Like, I don't need time off, and I just want to be making movies. And you need that guy for some – So this is not the largest purchase that Disney has ever made to buy the Lucas industry. And it beats out Marvel, fascinating enough, which only cost them $3.96 billion.
Just barely.
So what do you think cost more for them to buy than Marvel or Lucas?
Pixar,
yeah, it was the third largest.
Oh, really?
So Lucas being the fourth largest now. And Pixar cost, let me make sure I get this right, $5.2 billion. No, that's not right. Wait, hold on. This article is weirdly written. Please hold.
No problem. Do you want me to pause? I'm thinking, I'll do some thinking out loud, and I'm trying to think of what they've purchased.
Yeah, it's Pixar was $7.6 billion. So there's another one that was $5.2 billion and one that was $19.7
billion. $19.7 billion, a licensed property that Disney owns. That's not Marvel.
It's so obvious when I say it, you'll be like, oh, wow.
It's so obvious? Disney. I'm trying to think of what it could possibly.
Pixar was second. The third largest was Fox Family in 2001. They purchased for $5.2 billion.
Oh, it must be ABC.
ABC.
ESPN and all that.
$0.7 billion. ABC, which included ESPN, Capital Cities, all that. For $19.7 billion. And they did that in 1995.
Wow.
So that's 1995 dollars. That was over almost 20 years ago.
I'm tired of Chris Berman, you know, cramming his family values down my neck. You know, when Disney bought that 15 years ago, everything, he stopped. He's rumbling, fumbling, tumbling, but do it with your mom and your dad together.
Go on.
Yeah, no, I think Natalie was the one who broke this news to me, and I know that by the time this is coming out, it's kind of old hat, but I really am stoked about this idea. I'm excited about the idea of the world being in the hands of a fan. You know, like, I really think that that's what J.J. Abrams did for the Star Trek relaunch. Like,
He went on record saying he didn't watch much of that.
Oh, really? I thought he said that he had been wanting to do it for a long time and was a huge fan of it, and that he drove it. Like, that he was the one who kept pushing to have that happen.
Oh, I might be wrong. I could have swore he said, nah, I mean, it's cool. I just...
I think that's what he said, is that he thought that as a Star Trek fan, what he wanted to do was to make it cool. Like, that's I remember that being part of his thing, and that's one of the things that he wanted to do with it. But that was something he'd always fantasized about doing, was making another Star Trek movie. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's worth a Google. But
Google. Interesting.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? This always reminds me of that documentary that we watched about the era of comic books in DC, and where they said that, you know, in the late 70s, mid 70s was when the first, like, comic book fans were old enough to start making comic books. And that's when the industry kind of shifted, and that this whole Disney purchase, I think, really takes it away from, like, I've heard a lot of nerd talk where it's, we'll never know. A nerd talk of people like that grew up, and that it kind of worked against that, in that George Lucas would come in with these ideas, and because he was kind of like a god to them, that they'd be like, yeah, sure, yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so great that I'm working here.
Right.
That maybe what this does is that gives it that distance to say, listen, I love Star Wars, and this is what's cool about Star Wars, and this is how we're going to make it awesome. Mm-hmm. And I just, I can't wait. I can't wait for documentaries that are so pro the new trilogy that they start to bash the original trilogy, and,
that'll be a lot.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I can't wait for the onion of nerd rage to come out of this. Then it's a win-win for everyone, really. Like, even if it goes bad, then it's like, oh, Disney ruined Star Wars, and now I can't even ride Star Tours anymore, and rah, 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 you know? So I'm stoked. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be the best news. It's going to be the best. So I have next time on the SFP in the weeks ahead, I'll have to deliver what I thought was the last bit of news for you. But I have a new manifesto for our show,
okay.
And I have a new I have a new platform that I wish to stand on. And
this
I
is your big news? This is the big news that you were talking about earlier?
No, I'll tell you that now. So that'll be later. I have a big review that I need to do, uh-huh. and I'm actually going to write a paper about it.
Or reveal?
Both.
Oh, boy.
But the honesty that I have to tell you, the confession that I alluded to earlier, yes. is the entire time we've been playing, the entire time we've been talking, I've been playing Guild Wars 2. the entire time.
Oh, so, dang it. Why did that do that? Oh, that's why. I wanted to make it do something, the computer. There we go.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, no. How dare you, sir?
You had it coming.
So there will be manifesto with maybe some kind of thesis or essay from yes. thekevinmiller.com on the next episode of Second Funnies Podcast.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to change our name?
No. Okay. No. It's going to be, it's nothing I can even do. It's just what I, you know, after doing this show for 2 years, talking specifically about games, I just feel like I can put to a T what I think the future of gaming is. And I have an example of what the future of gaming is.
What? Kevin Miller is about to get all crystal ball on your asses. So it's, buckle up.
Early adopter.
Yeah.
Working business models for games and for fans.
Oh, snap-a-doodle. That's exciting stuff. Next week, we're going to be going nuts on the gaming industry. Kevin's going to be talking about Mad Money-style Jay Kramer. He's going to be telling you about what you should be buying, what you should be selling, what is going on in the world. You tell us what you think, but it doesn't matter because he already knows the answer. But you can call us at 408-228-4911. Send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Try to hound him to get the answer out of him early at Second Funniest Podcast. Just Second Funniest. I mispronounced the Twitter. You could ask Justin what he thinks Kevin might say on his Twitter at Justin Warsham, or join the conversation on Facebook.com/Second Funniest Podcast. All of that. Also, check out the MOG Radio Network because we're a part of that network. And I think that's it. On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Warsham saying, okay, bye.